This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are 15 minutes away from the weekend preview, which Clinton Yates is brought to you by...
Nobody. I learned.
Yeah, you learned the bit. Clinton's in on the bit. Clinton's in on the bit because he's with us every week in this time on Fridays. Always good to talk to you, my friend. Of course, the host of Clinton and Friends on ESPN Radio, which you can listen to in the ESPN app daily in the mornings. All right, Clinton. Obviously, we'll get to a little bit of sports stuff in a second, but one of the big stories of the week is the loss of a legend, a titan of the industry, John Feinstein. You were colleagues at the Post when you were here in town. I don't know how close you were with John. Obviously, you know, everyone's got a John story, though, and I'm sure you grew up reading him as well as then working with him. So what's your Feinstein story?
So I didn't know John. I was not in community with John, but I would see John, obviously, around, whether it be at baseball games, occasionally at, like, you know, a college basketball game. And one particular game I saw him, this was fascinating to me. For those of you who read John Feinstein or knew who he was, he went on and on and on and on about how the fact that Georgetown and Maryland never played was half the reason why he was constantly in Philadelphia covering the Big Five, because he felt that the DMV's college basketball scene was not robust enough in terms of the rivalries in town. This was like a big part of his platform. And when they finally did play, I can't remember what year it was now. I mean, this was 5 or 6 years ago when they finally got together and the Hoyas played the Terps in College Park at Comcast Center. And it was a huge deal. Like, I went, I covered it. And I remember thinking at the time, not I'm in the big time, but I was like, man, this is electric. SVP was there.
It was huge. Yeah.
They did Sports Center from the court, all that. And I remember thinking, man, Junior, as he was known, I know that from listening to Tony Kornheiser's show, not that I called him that, but I said, he must be elated. He finally got his dream. And lo and behold, my seat was literally right next to John's. So here I am sitting next to John, and he's talking about the whole game and all the buildup. And he's all, you know, previously I'd seen him back, you know, in the trenches talking to different people. And then he left at halftime. It was the funniest thing in the world. I was like, are we serious? But that's just the kind of guy he was. When he decided he was done with something, he was. And he fought effectively his entire professional career for this game to happen. And he just had better things to do by the time it came around. Very fun. So,
I would highly recommend anyone listening that wants some good Feinstein stuff to go read Dan Steinberg's. You know, our friends, your old colleague at the Post, who's still an editor. He was John's editor. His recollections and his thread on Twitter. It was just so funny because he's like, I heard someone earlier today say John never made it about him. No, that's incorrect. He always made it about him. And I feel like the story you just told is perfectly great.
I will never forget it. Ever forget it.
Titan of the industry, not always the easiest guy, was certainly the reputation, but no doubt, you and I were texting earlier, hell of a writer, unbelievable journalist in the way he did the job.
Knew how to make things interesting that I didn't care about, which is half the job.
100%. 100% is one of the great skills of this this industry. All right.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
NFL free agency, Clinton. I know how to make that interesting. There's a formula. Winners and losers. Pew, 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 pew. Fireworks. Do you like the winners and losers framing, or is there another way you prefer to talk about it?
I'm just thinking about it now because we did discuss this earlier, and I sort of put it together in my head. I think, and I'm not just saying this because I live in Los Angeles, but I think the Rams are big winners. I think the addition of Devontae, I think they've added a couple pieces. And I also think that being able to kind of responsibly move on from Cooper Kupp and actually get an upgrade is huge for them. Never mind the fact that they kept Stafford. I mean, that's massive. Sometimes it's not just about who you gain, it's about who you keep. And the Rams did a fantastic job with that. I was talking about this on the show yesterday. It is a little awkward, because Cooper Kupp was a guy that was revered. I mean, he was the offensive player of the year they went to the Super Bowl, and they won it at home. To think that he became expendable because the Rams believe effectively that their system is greater than any single player was tough. But Devontae Adams is an upgrade. Sorry. You know what I'm saying? There's just no world around that. And for me, I think that the Rams somehow, even though they were this close to going toe-to-toe with the eventual Super Bowl champions, got better. Another team that got better.
Well, hold on real quick before we go another one.
Yeah.
I've been asking the question all week. Is there anybody in the contender category who has had as good of an offseason as Washington? Because they haven't really lost anybody of significance, unless you count John Allen, which I really don't, because he didn't play that much last year, and I think he's very replaceable. Okay. And then they lose Dante Fowler. He just signed with the Cowboys, whatever, an hour ago. And he was a big sack guy, but he was ultimately a rotation piece. But they bring in Laremy Tunsil. And the other team that I brought up that I think actually has had as good of an offseason is the Rams, retaining Stafford. And then I agree, Devontae, with what they need right now, where Devontae is in his career, where he's still got a lot of juice, and Cooper, where we're not sure how much juice he has left. I think the Rams are one of the few teams, not that either of them have surpassed the Eagles or the Lions from a roster on paper standpoint, but I do think those teams have moved the needle maybe more than anyone else this offseason. Broncos is the other team that's getting thrown around that I like a lot.
I don't disagree with that at all, and I think the Commanders are also in that phase of figuring out whether or not being better off actually makes you a better team. So getting rid of Allen, as you said, right, might help them out in terms of, you know, roster management and all that, but you don't necessarily know if you've improved, and that's fine. Let's not act like they weren't ahead of schedule to begin with. And while I don't necessarily believe that being ahead of schedule means you should not keep your foot on the gas, I do think there's something to be said for, you can still retool some things. Just because you had a nice season doesn't mean you need to keep every single thing intact. The question is whether or not your squad is going to go overboard with it. And next thing you know, you've got a completely different team and a completely different makeup in your locker room. So I would agree with that. The Commanders have done well. The second team I was going to say is the Raiders. I really, really enjoy the way that they've kind of moved themselves into the conversation. Getting Pete Carroll, I realize he's the oldest coach in the league, but he's got pep in his step, as you would say. And reuniting with Eugene Cyril Smith III, to me, is a nice move. He went to two Pro Bowls with him. And Geno, I understand that he did some things with the Seahawks that people forget. He was a reclamation project. Like, this guy was on his, you know, close to being out of the league when it came to what his career was, and he really found himself. So I love what they've done there, and I'm really interested to see what they do in the draft, because not only do they have a top 10 pick, which could pick up an Aston Jeanty, a guy I love, but they also have a very high second-round pick, Craig. And you know that at that position, you can find a guy that can play right away. That's not unheard of in terms of NFL rosters being made up through the draft that way. So I like the Raiders as a winner as well in that particular situation. And I think in that division, they got a shot.
Yeah, I think the Raiders are maybe as good of a, like, who's the Commanders next year team.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, you know, the past 2 years, it was the Texans and the Commanders who both had the number two pick. They got the quarterback, and the quarterback was way better than we thought. Like, Geno's really good, and that pains me, because for a long time, I was a Geno Smith hater.
You were a hater?
It goes back to a whole college thing when he was at West Virginia and some games for Syracuse, and it's personal way. But no, like, and then obviously, I just think there was an arrogance he had earlier in his career, and he obviously was humbled by the way his career went, and I think he really got to work and obviously was willing to take a back seat, be a backup, learn, and then came back once he got his opportunity. Yeah. Has been probably underrated of how good he is. Like, he's a top 12 quarterback for most of the last, if not a top 10 quarterback in some of the last 5 years. And so, okay, new quarterback, new coach, new locker room, new mantra, new everything, new play style. Like, Pete knows what the hell he's doing. Geno's really good. Brock Bowers might be the best tight end in football already. So they've got some weaponry on offense. And so if they can get an Aston Jeanty, and then, I don't know, a stud receiver who turns out to be way better than everyone thinks in the second round, or, you know, clean up some things on defense, like, I think they're a really interesting team in a very, very tough division. That division is brutal. That is, I think, very different than the Texans in the AFC South and Washington, and with Dallas and New York puking all over each other and themselves last year in the NFC East. But I do think that's a great shout on the Raiders and a team to keep an eye on in 2025.
Absolutely. As far as losers are concerned, I don't know what the Seahawks are doing. I was asking Mina Kimes about this on the show, and the word she used was puzzling. And you never want to hear that word when it comes to offseason plans for an NFL
That wasn't
franchise.
A very nice thing to do as Mina's friend. Why did you ask her about the Seahawks? She is not in a good place about it.
I know, but that's why I had to bring it up, because, you know, there's an analyst look at it and there's a fan look at it. And she said, as a fan and an analyst, this is ridiculous. And listen, it's one thing to move on from Geno Smith because you just don't think he's the guy. Okay. But then to get rid of Metcalf, like, what? And then to sign Darnold for that much money, that's a little bit bigger than a bridge quarterback. And listen, I say it all the time. Quarterback is the worst coach position in the league. And I think Darnold's early part of his career, he suffered from a little of that. Some situations that weren't quite great. And you saw how much he could thrive in Minnesota. But Seahawks ain't Minnesota. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what they're thinking in that regard. So they would be a definite loser as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Here's the thing with Seattle. I'm not a big DK guy. I think what they got in return is fine, and I would not want to pay him what Pittsburgh paid him.
Okay.
But when you do it and you hit the reset, and if you're going to then trade Geno, that's the mystery part, right? If you're going to do both those things, because, like, DK is not a bad football player either, right? Like, if you can convince him to stay around and be happy and you keep him in Geno, like, you've got a chance to compete for that division. If you're going to hit the reset button, why are you spending $100 million on a bridge quarterback? Like, you can't do both. And so I that's the part I don't get. Like, if you want to take a big step back this year, we got a young coach. We got a bunch of young pieces.
Right.
Let's take a flyer on a third round quarterback. Let's draft Jackson Dart in the second round, or we'll trade back in the first round. Whatever. Do that. And if it works out, great. You got your next Russell Wilson, cheap quarterback. Didn't plan on this working, but it did. That's worked in Seattle before. To go get Sam Darnold for $100 million after trading Geno Smith, just because he's younger. Like, he's younger, but he's also worse. What are you doing?
Yeah, very short-sighted move. And I mean, I guess somebody there believes in Darnold to take them to the promised land. But that, to me, it doesn't make sense from either a talent evaluation or a timeline standpoint either. And so I'm with you. And I would be pretty bummed if I was a Seahawks fan, because that just doesn't work for me.
Although they've had a good run. They've been, like, oddly competitive for a decade and a half. And then, like, really, there was that stretch. Well, because, like, Russ was awesome, and it made sense then. And then they've had this like stretch with Gino, and I feel like there's some other guys in between who I'm not even remembering. I guess Russ was just there, and he just wasn't the same as old.
Yeah,
Russ.
He just right.
Or like somehow this you'd look up and the Seahawks were in the playoffs every year. Like there was a stretch where they were the best team in football, or like them and the Niners were killing each other every single year.
I get it. Yeah.
But then they just kind of kept being good. And then, you know, even going back for older Seahawks fans, like you had the Hasselbeck and the Sean Alexander years and all them. So like they've been good mostly for a long time. But
solid franchise. Very weird move for a franchise that's typically pretty prudent.
Yeah, but also their general manager, who's widely considered one of the best in the league, also really doesn't believe in like paying guards. And it's like, yeah, that's not going to work in the modern NFL. When ask Mina about that one. You want to see Mina's head explode? No, ask Mina about.
I have no desire to put any of my friends in situations where they are angry about the teams that they like.
Fair enough. Man. Fair enough.
Also, though, I'm still sort of the Steelers are still in an in between phase for me because I don't know that I have convinced myself that they're going to find a better option than Russell Wilson. Like, I get it. There's some level of fatigue within the organization about him, but look around, Jack.
Would you rather have Russ or Aaron?
Again, I would rather have Russell, but
same.
I mean, I just don't know.
And that's not an endorsement of Russell.
No. Aaron Rodgers is I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole, but that's
Clinton,
just me.
This is a real thing I said to Linnell in the hallway yesterday.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
I literally look at him and I go, I would rather lose than have Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, wow. I mean, look, I just don't feel that at an organization, sort of a, not even just a legacy organization, what I would call a heritage organization for the NFL, that you want a guy like Aaron Rodgers coming in kind of mucking things up. Like, he's a little too...
Circus.
It's not to say that he's but I mean, like, on top of the fact that the football might not be there, that just feels like a very weird fit. Like, why would you want this guy? You've got a whole history of effectively decent operators in terms of who you deal with, and all of a sudden, this dude you want at a late stage of his career when he's already kind of mouthy and annoying and he's not that good. Like, that doesn't fit at all to me. I don't care if Tomlin can keep all his guys in line. That's just, it's a weird fit for me, and I don't know. And he's taking all sorts of time to do it too, which is also just really annoying. I do not, like, as much as I would love it for the circus, I think if I was a Steelers fan, I'd be furious if they were courting this guy the way that they are.
Speaking of like taking care of our friends, for my dear friend Brooke Pryor, who covers the Steelers for your outfit, please don't do that to Brooke. Please. The woman's been through enough. It's Clinton Yates, everybody. You can catch him weekday mornings on the ESPN app and on your local ESPN radio station, Clinton and Friends. Also on television, he's writing. He's doing it all because he's a multimedia superstar. And he's on the show every Friday. Clinton,
we talked about. You're welcome. We talked about Denzel Washington movies all morning because basically he spoke to Prime's team over video chat and basically all the callers were like, well, I like this Denzel movie. And I got to tell the story about how one time my school, Washington International School, was in the movie, the 1993 mystery thriller, The Pelican Brief. So check that out, kiddos.
There's a podcast. You can check it out there.
Very well.
Up next, the weekend preview brought to you by
nobody.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.